Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Season's greetings, bastards and wenches, and welcome to another edition of One-on-One. I am your host, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And yes, the holiday season is upon us. The trees are up, the homes are decorated, the menorah is lit, and the snow is a nice tint of white with minor yellow spots. And during the holiday season, I often find myself watching a film that's brimming with the spirit of giving, with a protagonist whose nose is often red and a smile that lets you know that all will be fine in the end. I am talking, of course, about Wolf Cop! Yes, Wolf Cop has brought cheer to all the little good boys and girls and a big kick in the no-no spot to not-so-good boys and girls. And this year, our fuzzy man of the law is back with the follow-up to the original cult classic, aptly titled Another Wolf Cop. Joining me right now is the mastermind behind The Greatest Lawman since John Wayne. Please welcome writer and director Lowell Dean. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Evan. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. First off, congrats on all the success that Another Wolf Cop has brought to you, the cast and the crew. Playing the big crowds at festivals, winning the Audience Choice Award at the Fantasia International Film Festival, and recently finishing up a big limited run in Canada before coming down here to the U.S. Now, what goes through your mind when you see your crazy little creation becoming such an iconic character in cult film cinema?
I think I'm just excited, you know? It's you would never guess it, and when I see t-shirts and merch and getting to see both movies back-to-back on the big screen, I have to pinch myself.
You recently just did that a couple days ago. Where was that screening at?
That was in Toronto. Toronto, as far as I know, was the first double feature of the films. There's going to be more. There's going to be one in Vancouver. And I believe there's even some in the States somewhere.
Awesome. So we'll have to have our listeners keep their eyes and ears peeled for when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I like to joke about how Scandinavian people are so nice because they put their evil and nastiness into their black metal music. Would you say it's the same when it comes to Canadian kindness in your country's grindhouse movie scene?
I never thought of it that way, but that's pretty funny because it's true. Canadians are inherently very nice. I like to believe I am nice, and but that said, there's something wonderful about the dark side, and a movie like Wolf Cop, I think you can see the heart within it, but there's definitely a lot of death.
Oh yeah, absolutely, a lot of blood, gore, and death. Now, you once said your goal when making the first Wolf Cop was to create a sort of comic book movie rather than a parody satire of the horror movie genre. Now, what were some of your initial challenges when it came to creating your characters and making them people that you can relate to rather than laugh at?
I think it's always just working with what you have. That's the biggest challenge. And a movie like Wolf Cop, we don't get a giant budget. We don't get much time, so it's trying to, work with the actors and work with the makeup effects artists and try and bring a character to life in a way that's maybe playfully cheesy, but hopefully not schlocky, horrible cheesy. And it's just, busting our asses to try and make something worthwhile.
Was there anything that really surprised you when you were making the first Wolf Cop that helped bring out the humanistic element of the character?
Through the makeup test, it was definitely, we did a concept trailer before we made the film, and that was literally our first time ever putting the guy in the Wolf Cop suit and makeup. So that was in a way like our first test, but it was, we put it out into the world anyway. And from that, we realized, oh, he looks maybe too scary. He might not be relatable as a hero. So we definitely tweaked his look a bit for the first film. And then again for the sequel, again, hindsight 2020, when we actually saw the first film and had it all put together, basically every day on set was like a new makeup test. He's inconsistent a bit in the first film between scenes, but by the time we finished, we finally cracked it, and I think he looks just amazing in the sequel.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking from someone who's watched like a couple clips and the trailer for it, I think he looks stupendous in the second film. He looked great in the first film, but you're right about some little inconsistencies here and there. When you're watching it, you see some little things that may seem a bit out of place compared to maybe something from the previous scene. But when you're making a movie like this, it's like your first time creating a character like this. It's going to happen, but now that you have this sort of motif when it comes to Wolf Cop, you have something that is practically set in place from start to finish. Am I correct?
Yeah. With the sequel, he looks the exact same in every scene, and he looks great. And I've said to Emerson Ziffel, the effects artist, who said, like, you got it. So don't, you know, if we were to do more Wolf Cop, I would be excited at the other challenges we could look forward to, because Wolf Cop, I don't think, needs a lot of work visually anymore.
Right, because I believe you had mentioned that you want him to focus on more monsters and concoctions if this were to continue.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Now, the star of this franchise, Leo Fafard, now he has had quite the interesting career, as he did more film work behind the scenes rather than in front of the camera. When you were creating the concept of Wolf Cop, how did you know that he would be able to pull it off?
Just because I knew him. I actually wrote Wolf Cop for Leo. And
oh, wow.
Leo had once before, I had known him on sets, and he was, you know, as someone who does short films, he's one of the only accessible actors that you can meet who's, you know, at your disposal if you're going to do a short film, and he is someone who would consider it. And I did a music video, and I needed a werewolf, and we wanted him to have a certain look, and someone suggested we should approach Leo because he's tough as nails and would be okay with the 4 to 5 hour makeup process. So we recruited him, and it was my first time working with Leo as an actor, and hilariously, first time working with him as a werewolf. And he was so good in that one day music video shoot. By the end, I was like, I'm writing something new for you. And that was Wolf Cop.
Now, for our listeners who are curious, what was the music video and who was the band?
The band is an indie Canadian alternative music kind of band named Ra Ra, and their song is called Henry. And if you look for it on YouTube, Ra Ra's Henry, you'll find it, and you'll see Leo as a werewolf in the very first time. And it's a very different werewolf. It's still, you know, the same core teams, makeup done by Emerson, but he's more of a teen wolf werewolf.
Right. But yeah, that would be great for our listeners to check out, just to see where basically the origin of Wolf Cop first came into fruition.
For sure. That is it, right there.
So how was the vibe of recording another Wolf Cop compared to the first film?
It was like, for sure, a lot of fun, but it was also much harder. I will say it was like a weird, like, pendulum swing of like, so much joy getting to bring everybody back and being surrounded by friends again, and but also like the stress of like, hey, I'm so happy we're together, but we have to do something much harder and much better. So I didn't enjoy it as much as the first film experience, I'd say, because I constantly felt the weight of, we don't have enough time to do this right, but we still have to go hard. So
right.
And I think we did it, to the credit of the whole team, but yeah, I think we made a better film, but it was not easy at all.
I can imagine that, with the weight on your shoulders trying to top the first film to the second one. But were there any moments that actually felt easier the second time around compared to the first?
The shorthand with the cast, for sure. I felt like, I mean, on the first film, I was meeting everybody or working with them for the first time. Amy Matisio's from Saskatchewan, but we had not worked together prior to Wolf Cop. And Leo, I had worked with a bit, but, you know, like, not in the capacity of making a movie. And, you know, Jonathan Cherry, who plays Willie, it was like, hi, nice to meet you. Let's figure out what this character is. And I think the easier thing is with the sequel, we saw what worked and what didn't with all those characters. So it was just like getting everybody together and be like, do that thing you do, you know, do that amazing thing you did there. And yeah, go ahead and add that funny line. And just the shorthand, because we'd become friends, was the thing that made it better.
That's good. It's always good to have that sort of camaraderie when you're creating a hopeful franchise for many years to come.
Exactly.
Now, the first film, of course, had some very over-the-top deaths and action sequences. So how did you go about finding ways to up the ante in that department without going too much in the overkill?
I think we went straight for the overkill. I think we just said we have to kill way more and crazier. And we just had like a bulletin board, and we came up with ways that Wolf Cop could kill people or things we wanted to see happen in the Wolf Cop universe. And it was like a big wish list, and it shrunk a bit as reality and our budget sank in. But I'm still shocked at how much we got away with in the sequel. Like, it's kind of, if you're into like gore and like comedy and horror and action more than the first one, for sure, I think you won't be disappointed.
Awesome. So I know you're talking about a lot of the trials and tribulations of filming Another Wolf Cop, but what had to have been the best moment on set when you were making it?
That's a tough one. For me, I think it would probably just be the first day working with, because the main actors were back and I got to, you know, see them. They felt like old friends who I hadn't seen in a while. So it was just fun to see like Leo walk in his police uniform, and you know, Willie walk in, and Tina walk in, and see them be those people again, you know? That was my favorite moment. There's no specific thing, just when they walked in character, that was my favorite.
It must have given you a really good feeling, like, this is actually happening again, and I am excited to bring this back to the audiences.
Yeah, I just, and maybe selfishly, it's just like, it's not in my head anymore. Now I get to actually just watch people bring it to life.
Absolutely. You go from pen and ink to actually seeing it right in front of your face. So there must be a great feeling in that happening.
Oh, yeah, huge.
So you had fellow filmmaker and somewhat honorary Canadian Kevin Smith make a small role in Another Wolf Cop. And I'm curious on how your paths first crossed and what made him jump aboard this madness of a film.
Yeah, it was just kind of a weird series of events. But we had a role, a cameo role for the mayor of Woodhaven, because, spoiler alert, the mayor died in the last Wolf Cop. So
yeah,
we did a new mayor. And it wasn't a big role, but it was kind of a pivotal role. So it was about hopefully one day of shooting. And Kevin Smith wanted to make, or probably still plans to make, Moose Jaws. It's in his horror trilogy, and it's obviously, there's a city, for anyone who knows Saskatchewan, actually named Moose Jaw. Mm-hmm. So I imagine he was hoping that he could actually shoot in Saskatchewan. He was scouting, and our producers reached out to him and said, hey, you know, if you're going to come to Saskatchewan, you're already here scouting, we're making our own little Saskatchewan horror film. Could you come to set and maybe do us the honor of being in it? And he graciously complied, and was awesome. He was so fun.
Yeah, I've seen a little couple of clips in the trailer, and he looks like he's having a blast playing the role of the new mayor.
Yeah, well, I hope he did, because we sure all had a blast having him there.
He was talking about the movie Moose Jaws. Perhaps there could be a bit of a crossover thing happening between your movie universe and his movie universe.
That would be pretty cool. You never know.
Yeah. So I know we've been talking about the making of Another Wolf Cop, but we've yet to discuss what the film is actually about. So for our listeners, can you give us a brief synopsis of Another Wolf Cop?
Sure. It's a few months since the events of the first film, and I like to think of the first one as a Halloween film, and this is a Christmas movie. So basically, it's later. You know, there's been a few full moons since then. Now, Lou is now loving being a werewolf. Even though it's a curse, he doesn't feel cursed. He loves
right.
the power. He loves drinking and going out and killing bad guys. And Tina's now the chief of police, and she's juggling trying to keep him in line and raise some new rookies up to be great cops. And with all that happening, this mysterious man comes to town named Sidney Swallows. He's like a billionaire. And he basically says, I'm going to bring jobs to Woodhaven. I'm going to reopen the brewery. I'm going to bring you guys a hockey team, and we're going to get this economically struggling town back into the good books.
How is it related to Christmas? Is it similar in a vein to like how Die Hard and maybe in Bruges is like a Christmas movie?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Christmas is pivotal to the plot. It's just against the backdrop of Christmas. And that kind of came in the fact that we were going to shoot in summer, and then we ended up pushing until February. And we're like, oh, that sucks. So how can we find a positive in this? And the positive was, well, let's just have fun with it. Let's make it a Christmas movie. Let's put up Christmas lights. And, there's Christmas music and things like that. But it's not so integral. I didn't want to go so far into making it a Christmas movie that, you know, you wouldn't throw in the DVD in March and be like, oh, I can't watch this. You know, sometimes
right.
They have that stink to them where you only want to watch them around December. So I wanted it to walk the line so you could watch it anytime.
Oh, so I guess my introduction actually was kind of fitting for this. Nice. So I mentioned in the beginning you've been playing Another Wolf Cop at various festivals. What has been the biggest highlight of this pre-release tour that you had?
I think Fantasia in Montreal for me. We went to Fantasia with the first Wolf Cop, and I was the only one from our team who went. And it was like a great screening. You know, the audience was just so fun, and it was packed, and it was like a midnight show. So I had been hyping it up to everybody involved, and I said to the producers and the cast, if we happen to get into Fantasia with the sequel, you all have to come. And that's exactly what happened. So it was just a really great experience.
Have you ever been surprised to find parts of the world that knew of Wolf Cop's existence?
Oh, for sure. It blows my mind every time. Like, we have quite a following in Germany, weirdly, and it's played. Yeah, I know. And it played in Japan and in the States, you know. Like, I went to a convention in Florida, I think a couple years ago, and I was shocked at the amount of people who were not only knew of the film, knew it very well, were talking to me in detail about it. And I was like, God, I feel like people are loving it abroad more than they are in Canada. It was really cool.
Well, that's going to be a really amazing feeling. I mean, this is a character that I wouldn't say has touched the hearts of many, but has maybe struck a chord with the general audience of the world, especially when it comes to the American audience, and as you mentioned, German audience and the Japanese audience. There is something about Wolf Cop that just puts a big smile on our faces.
Yeah, I don't get it, but I mean, I guess I do get it because I feel the same way. It's just, he's a very, you know, he's visually iconic, his name is simple, and you can imagine. The best characters to me are the ones that I can daydream and imagine their adventures, you know, like, that's why I think characters like Spider-Man resonate, is because he's just so visually cool, and you can imagine all his stories. Like, you know Peter Parker even if you don't know him.
Right, exactly. Like, you can picture Wolf Cop going to Hawaii, Wolf Cop traveling the world, Wolf Cop just saving the day from Mega Hitler or something like that.
Exactly. You can see it all. So I hope he has a long life, and I'd love to do more.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my next question of, what do you picture happening next for a Wolf Cop hero after its theatrical run and after the video on demand? Do you already have something in mind for what I would soon be titled Yet Another Wolf Cop?
Yeah, I do have an outline for a story I want to do for actually two other stories. One's kind of a standalone and one's like a completion of the trilogy. So we'll see. It's I'm trying not to get my hopes up. We'll see how people react to the sequel and how the producers feel after the sequel's done its run, but I've been pretty vocal that I love the character, and I would hate to have it be two and done, you know?
Right, understandable. But outside of Wolf Cop, do you have any other film ideas or concepts that have been racking in your brain?
Definitely. I have another horror that I've been dying to make since actually before Wolf Cop, and So I haven't really pursued it because I've kind of been living the life of Wolf Cop for the last 5 years. But only in the last 2 or 3 months have I started, you know, I've opened up the script again. I've kind of dove back in, and I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to find a way to bring it to life this year. So I've got that. I've got another horror film I've just started writing. I've recently directed a film called Super Grid. It's like a post-apocalypse action film.
Ooh.
It stars most of the Wolf Cop cast, and it's for producer Hugh Patterson, who was one of the producers on Wolf Cop 1 and 2. So I'm trying to keep busy, and I'm hoping to do more of that and get into TV a bit more, too.
Wow, it sounds like you got a lot of really cool ideas that are going to be hopefully showcased to the people around the world. Now, one other question I have for you is, considering... Now, there's been news about a new Star Trek movie being helmed by Quentin Tarantino, which means anything is possible if this actually happens. So my question to you is there an already existing property that you yourself would like to tackle?
That's tough. Yeah, there's a lot of properties I would love to tackle. I mean, I'm a superhero nerd, so pretty much many of the big superhero titles I'd love to play with. I love some fringe superhero stuff. I love Die Hard. I feel like Die Hard is kind of like rolled into this cartoonish silliness, and I'd love to do a serious, you know, smaller scale, back to the roots Die Hard, things like that.
I think that would be a really good idea, because between you and me, I didn't really like the last one. I think it needs to go back to those roots.
I know, I didn't like the last two. The last one I liked was With a Vengeance, because I feel like it's the whole point is one man against like impossible odds, and when he starts surfing jets, I'm like, okay, this is a cartoon now. It's not, I don't believe he's going to die anymore.
Yeah, precisely. Lowell, thank you so much for joining me here on One on One. Another Wolf Cop playing in theaters very, very soon, later this month in America. But for our listeners, how can they demand Another Wolf Cop play in their local theaters?
That's a really good question. I don't know who exactly you harass. I mean, I guess you can harass your local theater chain. I know that if you go to wolfcop.com, there's a place to email and let them know if you want a screening. So maybe you can work in connection with them to try and bring it to your hometown. But, you know, so far I have no idea. It seems to be popping up in weird places. And I think if you can get your local theater to want it, anything's possible.
Yep. And for our Boston listeners, there will be a screening, I believe, starting on Friday, December 22nd in Salem, Massachusetts at Cinema Salem. So for our listeners in the local area, please go out and see this film and support it. Lowell, thank you once again. Best of luck for the rest of Another Wolf Cop, the cast, the crew. And may we see him show up again on the big screen in the not-too-distant future, as well as all your other future project ideas.
Thank you very much, Evan. Great chatting with you.
Great chatting with you as well.